1.
Ain't gonna ask again. The gun in his hand, a rusted piece of junk from a time before his birth, is more likely to explode in his face than put a bullet through mine. Even if it did work, his hand is so unsteady that the first bullet would likely miss, and anything fired after that would be thrown off by the weapon's recoil. He digs a tan plastic grocery bag from his pocket and thrashes it about until air slides inside and billows it open.
Where are your drugs at?
I cut through the fried egg yolk on my breakfast plate, letting the yellow spill out. It's thick and viscous like blood. The kid swallows. He doesn't have the nerve to shoot me, but he's working on it. How old are you? I ask, smearing a chunk of egg through yolk and popping it in my mouth. When he doesn't answer, I add, secret to a good egg is simple seasoning. Salt, pepper, onion powder, and a pinch of chili powder. Can you smell it? I take a deep breath through my nose and watch the kid do the same. His ski mask hides his face, but his rising chest and pursing lips are obvious tells. As hungry as he might be for Oxy or some other pharmaceutical, his belly is growling too. When I carve into my syrup-drenched waffle, he all but licks his lips. Here's the deal, I tell him, taking a bite of waffle. The half-stash framing your lips says you're pushing 18, maybe there already. You pull that trigger, you'll spend the rest of your life in a jail cell. If you're thinking no one will catch you, take a look at your hands. You're not wearing gloves. How many surfaces have you touched since letting yourself through my door? You haven't been keeping track. I have, and short of burning the place down, you're going to be easy to ID. The kid's buying my bullshit. Homegrown psyops, growing even more nervous as he starts to picture his life in a jail cell. But he's still got a finger wrapped around that trigger. Here's what I know. You're local, and like most people in Black Creek, your family has fallen on hard times. Father lost his job at the mine, maybe a few years back. Mom is overwhelmed by a few kids. You do your best to help out, but someone, not you, your skin, teeth, and eyes look good, is taking comfort in drugs. But the doctor won't prescribe more. Money's tight and people are desperate. What'd they offer you? Or did they threaten you? The kid's silence confirms my theory, but doesn't tell me whether or not he's here against his will. I give him a once-over. He's skinny, but tall and strong, built like an athlete. Still in school, I guess. So you're getting at least one meal a day. What's your sport, football? His eyes widen. You strike me as a quarterback. Means you're more than just a heavy hitter. Means you've got a head on your shoulders. Means you can make the tough calls under pressure. So I'm going to give you a way out, and the choice you make will affect your life from this point forward. You hearing me? His nod is subtle, but it gives me hope. You can pull that trigger, blow my brains across my kitchen cabinets, and rummage through my house for drugs that aren't here. After that, you'll spend a few days crying your eyes out, wondering when the police will come for you. When they do, you'll either eat a bullet or spend the rest of your days regretting the choice you made at this very moment. I let that scenario sink in for a moment, then say, or you can get that food I fixed for you. I motion to the plate on the counter behind him. It holds 3 fried eggs, 2 waffles, and 3 sausages. When he looks, I could tackle and disarm him in seconds. But if I make the choice for him, he'll be in someone else's kitchen before the week's end. Join me and talk this mess out like a couple of good neighbors. When he hesitates, I add, that's the way Jesus would want things done, wouldn't you say? Love your neighbor. Southern Kentucky, Appalachia is steeped in poverty, addiction, coal, and religion. The first two tend to suffocate lessons learned in church, but there isn't a young person in the region that can't rattle off the basic teachings of Jesus or sing a hymn. I'm guessing that the young man who broke into my house looking for an easy score bowed his head and begged for mercy before he went to bed last night. Probably before he let himself into my house, too. Lucky for him, I know that compassion can stop a war before it begins. And while I haven't been to church since escaping Appalachia to join the military, I still remember enough to speak the language.
You won't tell no one? He asks. Won't call the cops?
I don't make breakfast for people I want to send to jail. Far as I'm concerned, you haven't done anything wrong yet. Door was unlocked, breakfast was waiting, and you brought an antique firearm to show me on account of me being a collector.
You ain't shitting me? Food's still warm. After a moment of hesitation, he lowers the weapon, picks up the plate, and sits down. Gun on the table, he tears into the food with the ruthless efficiency of desperate hunger. Egg and syrup drips over the ski mask, which must be getting moist with sweat. It's 90 degrees out and humid. He's dressed for the weather in shorts and a dirty gray tank top, but his head must be sweltering. You can take the mask off, Levi. I'm guessing at his identity, but everything I've observed about him, including the fact that he walked here, narrows the possibilities to a few families, only two of which have boys his age. Yellow drips from his lip as he stares at me. Shit. You got nothing to worry about. He pulls off the mask, his appetite reined in by the shame of exposure. How'd you know? He asks. To fix a plate. Took you 3 days to work up the nerve to walk through that door. First day, you left more tracks than a rutting hog. Second day, I watched you through the windows, skulking around in the woods. A lot of families in these parts claim to have some of Daniel Boone's blood running through their veins. I'm guessing yours isn't one of them. He laughs at that and stuffs a whole sausage into his mouth. After a half dozen chews, he swallows the meat and says, Pa used to take me hunting when I was a kid. When there was more game, strip mine chased them off and then... Well, I haven't been hunting in a good many years. Still know your way around the forest? Walked here, didn't I? I grin. At heart, he strikes me as a good kid, under a lot of the wrong kind of pressure. Who are you here for? Grandma, he says. Parents aren't around? Nope, I didn't want to, you know. I'm aiming for a scholarship, but she ain't long for this world and just wants to leave it without pain. She's not an addict? He shakes his head. Curses the stuff mostly, but times are tough. I don't have the guts to tell Levi that his grandma probably wants the pills to end her life sooner than later. Despite breaking into my house, he strikes me as good people. That he'd risk prison to ease his grandmother's pain supports the theory. He doesn't flinch when I pull his revolver across the table, or when I snap open the chamber. It's empty. He huffs a laugh. I ain't no criminal. I can't help but laugh, partly with him, partly at him. Levi isn't stupid, but he's plenty naive. He leans back in the chair, belly full, looking satisfied. You good to go? I ask. Go to work. I stand up, revealing the gun holstered to my hip. My uniform is basic, jeans and a white-collared shirt. A jacket sporting the name of the company I work for, and the word security rounds out my uniform. But I tend to not wear it unless there's frost on the ground. Gets lonely in the woods, and I figure you owe me at least a day's work. Then we can talk about how to help your grandma. He looks from the gun to my eyes. Then he wipes his mouth and stands. What's the job? When I hold up my ID badge, he reads my name aloud. Owen McCoy. Then his eyes shift to the company logo, and a smile falters. Son of a...